This is Dave Redlauer at KALW having a discussion with Ev Ferret about the Bay City Jazz Band and the San Francisco jazz scene in the 50s and 60s. And Bill Carter from the San Francisco Traditional Jazz Foundation is here also. Bill played briefly for how long was it you played in the Bay City, Bill? You remember?
Better part of a year, I would think.
Yeah, some months. I don't really remember either, but
was,
I know it was.
Was I don't
was
know if
while.
It was 58 or 59. Whatever. That
I think
tape,
58.
Mm-hmm. You know, probably 8 or 10 months or something mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. that.
Well, in any case, it's great to have you both here, and we're listening to recordings of the Bay City Jazz Band, both issued and some rare tapes recorded. We're guessing at the sale in.
Mm-hmm.
Sticking with this era or even earlier, Bob Helm, you had some association with Bob Helm, both in the Bay City and before that.
Mm-hmm.
Helm, an outstanding clarinetist, but also something of an arranger, composer, nowadays, historian of the music.
Bob gave us some tunes. In fact, one of his tunes is on that first album.
How am I going to do it?
Oh, how am I going to do it if I don't know
what it
is
that you crave? Yeah. Which he wrote, yeah. I guess, with... The guy he was writing with at the time?
Weldon Keyes.
Mm-hmm.
And then we played a number of his other tunes. And I had made a recording with Bob in New York in 54.
Right, and, right. Riverside Roustabouts?
Yeah, right, yeah. And so I knew his music, even though nobody was playing it. And so he gave us some of his tunes and actually wrote the charts for us.
Oh, for a number of the Bay City arrangements?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did he ever sit in with the band?
Oh, he played with us a lot, yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
During the two trumpet phase or later?
No, afterwards.
Afterwards.
Yeah. I think during the two trumpet phase, he was still with Turk.
Yeah.
And then when he had one of his numerous separations from Turk, why he was, you know, out scrambling with us and played quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Which was really a revelation.
Must have been.
Yeah.
In what sense?
The way he played, and I had been with him with Turk, you know, for a while, but it was an entirely different situation because it was, I mean, God bless his soul, Turk's music was rigid, not musically rigid, but organizationally it was rigid, and there was very seldom. You know, a full solo chorus and ensembles were kind of controlled and in our situation it wasn't. And even though the band was kind of built the same way, it was much looser and got a real different feel of Helm there.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about the Riverside Roustabouts.
Yeah.
I guess that's all original Helm material.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's some wonderful stuff on that.
Yeah.
I've got a copy of that. Is there anything that you'd suggest playing from that?
Oh, I don't know. Any of them are great. They're really a showcase for Helm, so most anything you play on there is fine, mm-hmm. you know. They're all good. They're good tunes.
Thank you. How about if we go back even earlier? I don't know when you first started playing and when you first started playing professionally.
Well, I started in high school, but...
And was that jazz or band?
Dance band.
Dance band.
Yeah. You know, the old 15-piece swing band. We had a pretty good one at Galloway High in San Francisco, and with all the musicians being away in the Army way, we occasionally played a paid job. It was kind of fun.
But, was trumpet always your instrument?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I got out in the middle of 1950, I quit, and I didn't play again until 1953, I think. And then here again, Sanford had wanted to organize a band, and we got a job over in Berkeley at the Larks Club, and that was a Wednesday night thing. And usually we made about enough to pay the bridge toll coming home.
Which were pretty low in those days.
Yeah.
Did that band have a name, or was that Canal Street?
I think that was also Canal Street, yeah. So Turk didn't have a trumpet player. You know, he had to have one to go on the road. So he was kind of desperately looking around for somebody. So Short and Helen came over to audition me one night. So I went over to the Italian Village to audition with Turk, and I got the job because I could read, basically. Mm-hmm. It was hardly any more than that. He needed, you know, he had a horrendous book, and I never had horrendous. To play solos or anything, just play the leads.
Horrendous in what sense?
Enormous number of tunes.
Yeah, just a big book. And I was an average good reader for any other situation, but in the Dixieland field, I was a good reader, you know. Mm-hmm. So I got the job with him.
How long was that tour?
It was about 9 months.
That's a long tour.
Yeah, for Turk in those days, it was a long stint for a trumpet player. But it was a great experience. We did a 3-month tour of the East. It was the first time Turk had gone back East. It was fun.
How old were you at that time?
24.
Did you record additionally while you were on tour?
Yeah, we did another album for Columbia. It was one called Dancing Jazz. And at the same time, we did the Roustabouts album. And it's funny that the album with Turk took several trips to the recording studio, and Bob's album was done in 4 hours. And that was after a regular gig. And we were playing at Child's Paramount, and we did a recording session in the afternoon for Turk, then did the job at Child's Paramount, and then went over to the other side of the river to do Helm's album.
Were those produced by Avakian, or who was the producer?
Avakian produced the Columbia, the other one, of course, was Riverside. Yeah. Bill Grauer and Oren Keepnews.
Oh, Keepnews, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's amazing. He's still around.
Yeah.
Very active, Keepnews.
He's what is he? Got to be in his 80s?
Thank you.
Bob Helms' Riverside Roustabouts with Ev Ferret on trumpet, Riverside Shake. Next is Doing the Plymouth Rock, and earlier we heard How Am I Gonna Do It When I Don't Know What You Crave, written by Bob Helms, as were all the tunes on that rare album. You expressed to me how there was this clear separation between the East Bay bands and the San Francisco bands.
It was between the New Orleans 4-beat style and the San Francisco 2-beat style.
But you said at one point that you weren't even aware, or the personnel weren't aware of other personnel across the bay?
We were aware of them, but there was no crossover. We never played together. There was a kind of friendly animosity between the two camps, because everybody was so opinionated about what they were doing that they were right and the other guys were wrong.
Plus competing for some of the same jobs, I would imagine, in the
yeah,
long run.
Mm-hmm. But in those days, there were lots of clubs, lots of places. God, in 1956 on Broadway, I think there were like 10 places that had jazz of one sort or another. And within a radius of half a mile, there were probably 20 places.
Wow.
Some of them featuring major acts, you know, or major bands, and a lot mm-hmm. of them just local, you know, Burr yeah. Apollo.
Uh-huh. Yeah, talk about that a little. I mean, just the jazz scene changed dramatically, what, about the time the Beatles came in?
No, about the 60s? Time the Topless came in.
None of us would take off our shirts, so...
Well, you know, Mal Sharpe had a band on Broadway at a place called Tipsy's, and he was replaced by an all-girl topless band. That band had an accordion player. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that?
Thank you.
live tapes of Ev Ferre leading the Bay City Jazz Band as it was in 1959. Ev playing trumpet, Ellis Horn clarinet, Jim Lee playing some very strong trombone there, Art Nortier piano, Bob Hanscom banjo, Pete Allen swinging the string bass. Of course, that was Shake That Thing.